Hello, this is Lincoln, reading for you the Iroquois County Times-Republic for Thursday, July 16th, 2026. The front page, Fair Week. Kennedy Konoski named Miss Iroquois County Fair by Carla Waters, managing editor. The Iroquois County Fair kicked off with a queen contest that saw Kennedy Konoski of Gilman crowned as Miss Iroquois County Fair. She is the daughter of Chris and Casey Konoski and a 2023 graduate of Iroquois West High School. She is attending Illinois State University and studying early childhood education. Taylor Bright of Watsika is the first runner-up. She is the daughter of Sarah Baker and Thomas Bright. She is a graduate of Watsika High School and will attend the University of Illinois this fall to study liberal arts and science. Maya Anderson of St. Anne was named second runner-up. She also was selected Miss Congeniality. She is the daughter of Keith Anderson and Evan Anderson, a graduate of St. Anne High School in 2025. She attends the University of Illinois, where she is studying engineering technology and crop science. Aubrey Wagner of Onarga is third runner-up. She is the daughter of Calvin and Alicia Wagner. She graduated from Iroquois West High School in 2024 and now attends Iowa State University studying animal science with a beef cattle production management certificate. Cambry Kaufman was named 2026 Little Miss Iroquois County. Earlier in the day, the talent show was conducted. The winners are Junior Division, first place, Charity Kidwell and Olivia Hall. Second place, Cora Roselius, and third place, Isaac Heaton. Senior Division, first place, Aubrey Chandler, second place, Kairi Rossi, third place, Issa Pena. The Iroquois County Fair continues through July 19th with a variety of events and activities throughout the week. For more information, go to iroquoiscofair.com. Watsika police seek public's help in locating individual. From staff report, as of press time, Watsika police are asking for the public's help in locating Thomas L. Boyer, 43. He was reported missing on July 13th. Mr. Boyer was last seen on Sunday, July 5th, 2026, at approximately 5 p.m. in Watsika. Mr. Boyer is described as 6 feet 4 inches tall, weighing 170 pounds, with brown hair and blue eyes. If you have seen Mr. Boyer or have any information regarding his whereabouts, please contact the Watsika Police Department at 815-432-2433, reads information from the police department. Watsika Library concludes Summer Reading Challenge by Watsika Public Library staff. Thank you to everyone who participated and helped out during our Summer Reading Challenge this year. All prizes and incentives from the challenge must be picked up in person before August 1st. If you cannot make it to the library before August 1st, please give us a call. Ladies' Night Book Club is meeting in July for Part of Your World by Abby Jimenez on Tuesday, July 28th at 5 p.m. After a wild bet, gourmet grilled cheese sandwich, and a cuddle with a baby goat, Alexis Montgomery has had her world turned upside down. The cause? Daniel Grant, a ridiculously hot carpenter who's 10 years younger than her and as casual as they come. the complete opposite of sophisticated city girl Alexis. And yet, their chemistry is undeniable. Stop by the front desk to check out a copy of the book. Stop in and check out the teen bulletin board in the YA room. We have a monthly teen craft and information about our upcoming events like Teen Advisory Board and Dungeons and Dragons. The July craft is Corn Dog Pinatas. You can make it at the library or take it home. Our summer reading story walk book is The Bad Seed by Jory John and Pete Oswald. Head on out to Lakeview Park to check out this story. All drop-in and take-home crafts are available while supplies last. Week of July 20, Kids Drop-In Craft Ice Cream. Tuesday, July 21st, Preschool Story Time, County Fair, 10 a.m. Wednesday, July 22nd, Preschool Story Time, County Fair, 10 a.m. Friday, July 24th, D&D Club, 4:30 to 5:45 p.m. Week of July 27th, Kids Drop-In Craft Pipe Cleaner Puppet. Tuesday, July 28th, Preschool Story Time, County Fair, 10 a.m. Wednesday, July 29th, Baby Book Club, 10 a.m. Agronomy Days continues with Stairway to Yield, other events for producers. Dateline, Urbana, Illinois. Agronomy Days 2026 at the University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign continues with events scheduled into October, teaching Illinois growers the latest breakthroughs in productivity, profitability, and sustainability. Events hosted by the College of Agricultural, Consumer, and Environmental Sciences and Illinois Extension showcase new research findings and demonstrate updated management practices according to information provided. The remaining events of the series can be found on the Agronomy Days website. Just around the corner on July 15th is the OR Agricultural Research and Demonstration Center Field Day, where experts will discuss crop disease risks, insect and weed management, and weather forecasting, among other topics. Stairway to Yield, a field day focused on crop physiology, will take place on August 6th at 4202 South First Street in Savoy. It features 8 presentations from researchers on topics ranging from fertilizer management strategies to high-yield corn and soybean insights. This year marks our 5th annual Crop Physiology Day, said Connor Sybil, research assistant professor in the Department of Crop Sciences, part of the College of ACES. Sybil will discuss management factors and their impacts on soybean yield. We can't wait to share our research with the people we do it for, Illinois growers. The free event will kick off at 8 a.m. at the Crop Sciences Research and Education Center with breakfast. Throughout the day, attendees will hear from researchers in the Department of Crop Sciences while also enjoying sponsor visits, snack breaks, and lunch. Other Agronomy Days events include Monmouth Field Day on July 22nd, Ewing Agronomy Field Day on July 23rd, a discussion on the upcoming alma mater plots on August 11th, an insect management field day and plot tour on August 12th, and the first International Miscanthus Summit on October 26th. We've had great participation so far in our early summer events, and we look forward to welcoming even more growers as the series continues, said Agronomy Days organizer Nick Seiter, an assistant professor and faculty extension specialist in crop sciences. The best part, from our perspective, is learning from growers about the challenges they're facing. A huge part of our land-grant mission is responding to the needs of our stakeholders, and this is a great way to get to hear from folks. Come on out! Help shape solutions to food waste by taking the Illinois Household Food Waste Survey, Dateline Urbana, from farm to table to trash can, from farm to table to trash can, what happens to food is bigger than leftovers. Producing food uses valuable resources like water and fuel, and when uneaten food ends up in landfills, it contributes to financial losses, social inequity, and environmental harm. Illinois households are invited to be part of the food waste solution by taking a short survey about meal planning, grocery shopping, cooking, and what happens to food at home. According to information provided, research shows that 1/3 of the U.S. food supply was not purchased or eaten in 2023. Some of that surplus food is donated or recycled, but most becomes food waste that is thrown out. University of Illinois Extension Environmental Quality Specialist Ashley Bell said that in 2024, 436,500 tons of food waste from Illinois homes ended up in landfills, where the organic material produced a substantial amount of the greenhouse gas methane. At the same time, 1 in 8 people in Illinois face hunger. When it comes to reducing food waste, everyone can help, said Bell. With this survey, we hope to get a better understanding of food use at home to then create local programs that support cost savings, stronger communities, and a healthier environment. The survey is open to adults in Illinois who are regularly involved in household food shopping, meal planning, cooking, or kitchen cleanup. Participants are invited to share what works well for their household and what is challenging. Take the 10-minute survey online at go.illinois.edu/foodwastesurvey. The survey results will help guide local food waste prevention education provided by Illinois Extension. The survey is part of a multi-state research initiative led by Ohio State University and is provided in partnership with the Illinois Sustainable Technology Center, a division of the Prairie Research Institute. If you have questions or need a reasonable accommodation to participate, contact Ashley Bell at abelle, at illinois.edu or 217-300-6867. Designate a water watcher this summer to prevent child drownings. Dateline Chicago. As temperatures rise across Illinois and families head to pools, lakes, beaches, and splash pads to stay cool, the Illinois Department of Children and Family Services, DCFS, is reminding caregivers to use a simple life-saving strategy to help keep children safe around water. Designate a water watcher according to information provided. According to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, drowning is the leading cause of death for children ages 1 to 4, and the second leading cause of unintentional injury death for children ages 5 through 14. Most of these tragedies can be prevented if children are actively supervised when they are in or near water. This summer, Illinois DCFS launched its Water Watcher Initiative in partnership with Safe Kids Illinois and the Ann and Robert Lurie Children's Hospital of Chicago to help families strengthen supervision around water. The initiative includes a printable Water Watcher tag that clearly identifies the adult responsible for supervising children during water activities, helping ensure that someone is always alert and watching them. The designated water watcher commits to remaining in constant visual contact with all children in or near water, remaining by the water unless relieved by another water watcher, not looking at phones or other devices, consuming alcoholic beverages, or socializing, calling 911 in an emergency. Water is always an attraction, particularly for children, said Illinois DCFS Director Heidi E. Muller. We strongly encourage designating a water watcher. It only takes a few seconds for an accidental drowning to occur, and it can happen even if your child is a good swimmer or they are equipped with a life jacket. Remaining vigilant around water can save your child's life. To download Water Watcher tags and learn more water safety tips, visit the DCFS Water Safety webpage, dcfs.illinois.gov. For families, safety, watersafety.html. Indiana Soybean Alliance donates tires containing soybean oil for a state FFA vehicle. Dateline, Indianapolis, Indiana. Long-term investments often earn the greatest returns. For many years, Hoosier farmers have given to the Indiana FFA as an investment in agriculture's future, according to information provided. Indiana FFA has more than 14,000 members, providing high school-aged students with challenging opportunities to develop leadership skills, problem-solving experience, and widening careers prospects. Founded in 1929, Indiana FFA has 233 chapters across the state and is led by a 7-member leadership team of recently graduated students elected during its state convention. These young leaders will travel to FFA chapters throughout Indiana in a flex fuel vehicle driven with the help of corn and soybean farmers. For several years, the Indiana Corn Marketing Council, ICMC, has sponsored the FFA vehicle, which runs on E85, a blended fuel of 85% ethanol and 15% petroleum. This allows the FFA's leadership team to promote corn-based ethanol fuel while traveling throughout the state. During the Indiana FFA convention in Noblesville, Indiana, the Indiana Soybean Alliance, ISA, donated a set of Goodyear Eagle Enforcer all-weather, trademark, tires made with soybean oil in the tire tread compound. Replacing petroleum-based oils with soybean oil gives the tire tread improved cold weather flexibility with better traction in wet and snowy conditions. This will also allow the FFA team to promote the versatility of soybeans, which are an ingredient in many products, as well as co-products of soybeans like soybean oil. We're very happy to partner with Indiana FFA, and we're very happy to share the message about the benefits of using soybeans, said Muncie, Indiana farmer Jenna Scott, chair of ISA's Sustainability and Value Creation Committee. With more than 14,000 members in Indiana high schools, FFA can spread the message that soybean oil is a great replacement for many industrial items. Soybean oil makes these products more bio-based, and it increases the value of Indiana soybeans. Goodyear began exploring the use of soybean oil in select tires through a research partnership between Goodyear and the United Soybean Board, USB, the National Soybean Checkoff Program. Partnerships like this can create demand for crops grown by Indiana soybean farmers. Goodyear tires containing soybean oil have been on the nationwide market since 2017. Goodyear's use of soybean oil is an example of how the company is using sustainable materials in their products, said Tom Griffiths, a Kendallville, Indiana farmer and a USB director. With the use of soybean oil, they are replacing petroleum-based oils with a bio-based oil. The oil they are using is oil extracted from American-grown soybeans. FFA State President Caitlin Maruszewski, who is from a farm in Tipton County, is excited to share the soybean and corn story with chapters and members throughout Indiana. As state officers, we spend thousands of miles traveling to meet Indiana FFA members and partners across the state, Maruszewski said. Knowing the tires on our vehicle include soy-based technology is a powerful reminder of the innovation happening within Indiana agriculture. We're thankful to the Indiana Soybean Alliance for supporting our travels and helping us share the story of soy with students and communities along the way. ISA Board Director David Ring, a farmer from Huntingburg, Indiana, is a former FFA advisor at Southridge High School in DuBois County. Ring attended the tire donation ceremony at the Indiana FFA convention. When this project came before our board, it wasn't just a simple approval, it was an enthusiastic yes from every farmer in the room, Ring said. As growers, we pour our hearts into our fields, and seeing our crops utilized in cutting-edge industrial technology, like Goodyear's soy-infused rubber compounds, it is incredibly rewarding. By funding and approving this project, the ISA board is proud to ensure that our young leaders could be riding on the very innovation their parents, neighbors, and communities grow. About Illinois Soybean Alliance. The Indiana Soybean Alliance works to enhance the viability of Indiana soybean farmers through the effective and efficient investment of soybean checkoff funds that protect and promote the interest of Indiana soybean farmers. ISA works to assist soybean farmers through its strategic initiatives of market development, environmental, social, and economic sustainability, value creation, and producer engagement. ISA is led by an elected farmer board that directs investments of the soybean checkoff funds on behalf of more than 20,000 Indiana soybean farmers. Learn more at incornandsoy.org. About Indiana Corn Marketing Council. The Indiana Corn Marketing Council was established by the Indiana General Assembly to promote the interests of corn farmers in the state and to manage corn checkoff funds. The council is composed of 17 voting directors who guide investments of corn checkoff funds on behalf of more than 20,000 Indiana corn farmers. The ICMC works to assist corn farmers through its strategic initiatives of market development, environmental, social, and economic sustainability, value creation, and producer engagement. Learn more at www.incornandsoy.org. This communication was funded with Indiana soybean and corn checkoff dollars. Harbor House is offering 40-hour training in September. Harbor House is offering people the opportunity to join them in September for 40-hour domestic violence training. Through this comprehensive and state-certified training, participants will gain knowledge that is fundamental in addressing domestic violence, supporting survivors, and bettering our community, according to information provided. Volunteers will gain certification that allows them to provide informed support to survivors, help raise awareness through Harbor House advocacy and outreach events, assist with client programs and activities, and so much more. Whether you're looking to volunteer, enhance your professional skills, or become a stronger advocate, this training is a way to make an impact in our community. Schedule: virtual self-paced modules, 20 hours, completed independently prior to the first in-person session. Access begins August 17th. In-person sessions, 20 hours, weeks 1, 3, and 4, Mondays from 5:30 to 8:30 p.m., starting August 31st, Wednesdays from 5:30 to 8 p.m., starting September 2nd, week 2, alternate schedule, Tuesday from 5:30 to 8:30 p.m., September 8th, Thursday from 5:30 to 8 p.m., September 10th. See our 40-hour training fall calendar for more details. All in-person sessions are held at the Harbor House Administrative Facility in Kankakee. Meals are provided. Cost for this training is $100, refundable after 20 volunteer hours. 20 contact hours, CEUs, available upon request for an additional $30. Applications are due by July 31st. Space is limited. Watseka Police reports, on July 2nd at 4:12 p.m., the Watseka Police Department conducted a park check in the 100 block of West Fleming Street. According to reports, Billy J. Stevens, 46, of Watseka, was arrested for sexual predator loitering in a public park and possession of drug equipment. Additionally, Timothy W. Alexian, 31, of Watseka, was also arrested for possession of hypodermic needle. Stevens and Alexian were transported to the Iroquois County Jail without incident. This is Lincoln, and I've been reading for you the Iroquois County Times-Republic for Thursday, July 16th, 2026. Have a fabulous day.